Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to blast him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it, and
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hello and happy Friday. And also happy Valentine's Day. I know that's a big one for a lot of our listeners. Valentine's Day. I see some red around the office. Not so much in the studio, but I do see some red. The button that you push to turn the microphone on lights up. It's a red light. That's red. Joe, beige, me, black. Didn't even think of it.
I am wearing red socks, though, if that counts.
Should it?
I'm technically wearing red if I'm wearing red socks. So.
But are you looking for, like, an escape? And, like, hey, I actually did wear red, so you can't be mad at me or something?
100%.
Or is it you didn't actually think...
It's a cop-out.
The red socks on Friday.
Or they were just in the rotation, and that just happens to be what I was wearing. Yeah.
Yeah, who, right?
Yeah.
Let's be honest here. Let's not start the show in some other way. My kids lay out their socks for the week. Or they're supposed to. They lay out their clothes for the week. So 5-day school week this week. Next week, they're off. They're going to love not having to do this because they never really like to do this. Go get the clothes out of the laundry room. Line them up. Pick the days, right? Socks, though. Socks are the one thing. The few minutes before the bus, where are my socks? And now my daughter, most days, will wear socks that like obviously don't match. And that's like to her...
Yeah,
well, style.
Or who cares, because how often are you going to see him anyway?
I'm very close to doing this myself. Like, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Who's going to see him?
I mean, if they do, so what?
Yeah. It's an easy out. It was the end of a laundry cycle. Like, you can't be mad at that.
No.
Like, yeah, tomorrow, this is left in the rotation.
Give me any two socks. You don't even have to consider, like, which foot. Any two socks, fine.
Well, I never consider which foot.
No, I mean, no.
They right. do. Some of them have those little L's and R's on them, but I typically just ignore
L's that. And R's. Yeah, that's right. Good point. We'll be in a lot of places today. Bulldog is not here. I gotta talk about reaction to Houston Astros because it's incredible. It's incredible right now what's happening with other players and teams reacting to the Astros. There's a Patriots connection that, like, on the surface is very obvious, and I just got to get into that a little bit. So I'm ready to do that. Zach Bogosian was waived by the Sabres today. Brady speculation, of course. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Evan Abrams, Action Network. Want to bet Daytona? I mean, just, like, rhetorically. Want to bet Daytona? Stay tuned for Evan Abrams. He might have some ideas. And, who knows what else? It definitely will be something else. Here's what else right away. Rob Clark, the managing director of retail operations for Dunn Tire, is here with me in the studio. He's been sitting here right next to me for these like 5 minutes. I don't know what you're thinking here. Like, he's talking about socks and he's talking about his daughter getting on the bus and like, what even is this? But Dunn Tire has become the naming rights sponsor of this room, of the studio. It's the Dunn Tire Studios. And we're excited about that, and I hope you are.
Very excited. We big sports and local sports supporters here with Dunn Tire. As a lot of people know, we have a long-term relationship with both the Bills and the Sabres, and just a natural fit for us to be the studio name here.
I agree. Dunn Tire is like one of those everybody knows it brand names in Buffalo, isn't it?
I think it's more, Mike, hopefully you mean everybody knows and likes it. That would be better.
Sure.
You know, that.
But, yeah. No, you know what? I don't live in that world. I live in the world where as long as they know you, you won. And you may not.
Yeah. Right? A little bit on the marketing side, yes.
I have come to be convinced that even if they don't like you, it's still the same. It's still good. But, you know, right, like in the real world, it's different than that sometimes, sure.
Sure is.
But Dunn Tire is everywhere. I mean, you've got how many locations? And
we've got 27 locations. So we've got west into Erie, Pennsylvania, and east into Syracuse, and right along Route 90, basically.
And, like, it's what, Rob, sort of the back end of the snow tire season, or what?
We're getting to it. If we get to, quote-unquote, a normal winter around here,
yeah.
Again, it seems that they're starting a little bit later and pushing further in towards Easter than they used to. But, yeah, we're getting into the back end of it for sure. Still going to get some sloppy weather and stuff.
That would be pretty good if we were, like, more than most of the way through winter already, because it hasn't been bad at all.
Hasn't been bad at all. For us in the tire business, it's that makes it a little more challenging.
Right. You might root for it. See, this is a little bit like my last thing. You might root for bad weather sometimes.
We do. It's certainly it's Mother Nature's reminder that you might need new tires, and it works pretty well for us every year. So,
yeah, that's actually something I should keep in mind because I'm not good in the snow on the road. I'm hoping to survive.
Anybody that can lay out their children's socks a week in advance should be preparing, you know, vehicles and things, Mike, a little bit.
As you've heard, I make them do it. I can't even do that. So are you a race fan?
A little bit. I've been to some races when I worked for Goodyear prior to joining Dunn Tire and got to go out to some of the speedways in the country.
Okay.
So I'm familiar with it. I don't know that I'm a big fan. I've met a few of the drivers over the years, and very, very impressive individuals, and what they do with those vehicles is crazy. If you've been able to get down into the pits and take a ride in, that it's unbelievable skill that those guys have.
Yeah. Like, tell me about the tires. So, I mean, they're just huge. And they go through them in, a couple hours or whatever? It's just a whole different world.
It is. They're all manufactured by Goodyear. So I had, when I worked for Goodyear, I had the opportunity to get a little bit involved with it. But it's a double secret probation around how they manufacture those tires.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's very well protected
I guess that
information.
Makes sense.
So they go through several sets. I don't know how many sets they go through, but it's an impressive tire that they put on there, and what they do to them is just unreal. The torque that goes through those vehicles is amazing.
You're talking about like in one race, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
a few tire changes in one race.
Several sets. I think it varies a little bit by team. I'm not sure there's kind of a standard package. I remember them discussing that they would send along with each race team.
Mm-hmm.
But it's dozens of tires that go out with each vehicle.
And so, I mean, the regular customer who's not in NASCAR or anything like that, like, you know, me and Danny here and Joe, like, you know, what do we need? What should we know about our tires? Can you tell us something about that? What should we know?
Well, I think the most important thing to remember about the tires is a lot of people, when they talk about vehicle safety and you see the automotive commercials on and the safety brands and those kind of things, the only part of the vehicle that touches the ground is the tires. So it is a critical piece, if not the most critical piece, of the safety system of the vehicle. So from our perspective, we take that very, very seriously at Dunn Tire. That's the way we look at our jobs, that we're not just selling tires. These are a very significant safety component of the vehicle, and we've got to do our jobs right. So just the selection, the tire technology itself has come generations. I mean, it's just leaps and bounds from where it was when the radial tire was made, and you get all different kind of price points and capabilities and everything else. So,
well, I got lucky here, Rob, by asking you about this, because you know a lot. But the NASCAR piece and everything, of course you would know tires, because the only sports thing I was briefed about when it came to you was Bills fan, not so much the Sabres, or like not, you don't follow them as closely anyway.
That is correct. I've never been too much of a hockey fan growing up. It just wasn't something that we watched. Very much involved in football, played football, and just got into it that way. So I do pay attention to the Sabres. We're a partner with them and a sponsor with them, but nothing more than a casual fan.
What about the Bills? So like here I am every day with Bulldog talking about them, and it's the offseason now, so it's who should they go in free agency and get and who they should draft, and you know whether some of these years there's coaching changes and stuff. Like it's all about the movement in the organization and on the roster and everything. And this year happens to, like, this may be a first for me in almost 20 years here, where in the league there's lots of speculation about quarterbacks, starting with Tom Brady. Like, you can't get any bigger than that, and whether they'll be on a new team. And here there isn't that, and that's kind of upside down, you know, like for a lot of these years. Yes. Most years, I think, in my career, we have argued about whether the quarterback should stay the quarterback, and we don't have that right now. It's kind of weird. I don't know what to do.
No, we don't. And I think when I look at the Bills and the organization, I don't know that I'm the typical fan. I start with the coaching staff and the environment that's created from the GM. And I think Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, those guys have put a system into place and a mentality that goes throughout the organization, not just with the players, that is very consistent and it's very clear. So I think the future for the Bills is in very good hands. And as far as the players on the field, I like who we have. I like Josh Allen. I think he's good. Like I've listened to you on your show many times, I need to see more before I think we're all set at that position. But there's only a few elite quarterbacks any time in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think Josh Allen is well above average. So if he can keep learning and growing, maybe he can get to that elite four or five. But he's not there yet, but we're closer than we have been.
Do you I like how you sound on this. Do you care about where Brady goes or what happens there? Like, because I think for a Bills fan, there's obviously two schools of thought, and I think either is respectable, where a Bills fan could say that you want him to stay on New England. That could be because you think he's weakened, right? Because he's 43, and that, like, you know, it's time for them to start losing, and if he's on, it's going to feel better. It's going to be satisfying to watch the Bills beat him, like, if you're confident like that. Or even just, you know, for the sameness of it. And then also you could think, well, let's get him out of there because he has been an assassin and he's beaten the Bills almost every single time they've ever played, and I want to be done with it. Which side might you prefer?
I as a Bills fan, I have to favor the separation of Brady and Belichick.
Get him out of there.
Get him out of there. And I don't think either one of them will do as well or would have done as well without each other. I think they have a unique relationship in the sports world that only comes around once every 50 years, maybe, that these guys understand from a coaching level. Yeah, basically, Tom Brady, I view him as a coach on the field. I don't think his quarterbacking skills in any one area are any better or even middle of the pack in a lot of ways as far as talent on the field. So it's his mental game, and I think his mental game is benefit of Belichick. And I don't think he's a dumb guy either. I think that's why he's been willing to take some of the pay adjustments that he's been willing to take over his career, because I think he realized that I've got it pretty good here with this Belichick character, and he knows what he's talking about in football. So
and that is part of what makes right now so interesting, because it sounds like, well, I think I know less about what Brady wants than what New England wants. I feel like I'm starting to learn that New England wants to get it over with.
Yeah, I get that feeling. One of the my second favorite sports station in the country now is, when I lived in Boston, was WEEI.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I agree. I think the Patriots have made an organizational decision to pick a number that's a respectful number they can put out to the public to make it look as if,
right,
yes, we put significant dollars behind it, but at the same time, they certainly don't seem to be outward looking that they're real aggressive at going after him.
Yeah, Rob, and you know what? I would really respect that, because a lot of times, I think maybe more in the past, I think maybe this is becoming somewhat of an antiquated approach, but sports teams end up paying stars for past performance.
Yes.
And they can have players who, yeah, they're not what they used to be, but, you know, I don't think this is exactly how the GM in a situation like this would necessarily describe it, but the guy's done a lot for us, and there's a price to be paid for the breakup. So you end up even before it gets to that sort of crisis point, a team will end up writing that contract for a player. They might even know that it's going to get bad, but they get the good press and everything out of like keeping the player and everything. And I guess in recent years, I felt like, I think that's the wrong way to go. I mean, you don't need to pay for past performance. You already paid for that performance. So now here's New England. And especially if it's them, it's really interesting if it's them because they have won for so long, even this year. I mean, they lost in the playoffs and that was like an outrage for them, right?
Yep.
So they have won for so long. If any team would have the license with their fans and with, you know, media and everything to keep going, like as a sort of a tribute or whatever, meaning to win, but still like, yeah, it could go bad, but we'll keep going. It'd be these guys. And if they don't want to do that, I would respect it.
Well, and I think they have, they've marketed themselves in a way that Bill Belichick is viewed as kind of the evil the evil know-it-all person inside the organization, even with New England fans. So for him, for Robert Kraft to say, I'm not going to make any football decision. It's 100% Bill Belichick. I've given him this much in the checkbook. It gives them what they've already built for themselves. They have a scapegoat with Belichick that doesn't mind. He wears it as a badge of courage that
good point.
Ty Law and these guys leave, and it's something he gets over very quickly in the market. So, yeah, I do think they end up moving on. I don't know. I'd love to see Tom Brady join the Bills and become a backup to Josh Allen. I think that would be a little bit of just dues for that.
Why don't you hang out with me for the next 3.5 hours? We'll just talk about that. You know, like, can you imagine that scenario?
And I actually think Bills fans might even support that kind of just go spend crazy money to make him a backup quarterback and give him a little bit of payback. He's had a little fun at the Bills' expense over the years. So,
not that there's any amount of money in the world that would make it happen, though, probably, right? That would get him to sign with them?
No, I don't
especially
think so,
to not play. Yeah. But that's also what you say is also what makes the story interesting, that it was Kraft who wanted Garoppolo gone last year, that he, or whenever it was it last year when they made that trade? That's kind of the report was that Belichick was not happy with that, but it was to like sort of placate Brady and sort of open another, this is against what I was talking about before a little bit, but it's in the past, you know, give him a little bit more time and space. And now, you know, Belichick, if that's all correct, if that sentiment is correct, that report, now he's probably wishing that, I told you we didn't want to do that, and you know,
they had Garoppolo back. I think Garoppolo was probably a smart decision from Kraft at the time. It was one of those this is going to start getting bad optics if Tom starts to struggle and we've got this young buck. So I think he got out in front of that and said we all know that at least physical health he's got, unless obviously some injury would have happened, but with his history, you know you're going to get at least two more good years out of him. So do you really want the bad press that's going to come from having that backup sitting behind Brady and that discussion starting to happen that you've seen in many towns, and it's never productive for the team. So,
and also, how many years would that have ended up being? Say Garoppolo were still there and Brady didn't get hurt, right? He plays out. Joe, would that have been like four or five years?
At least four years.
Yeah. Yeah. Where he would have just been like, that's longer than Roger sat. You're just sort of, what are we waiting for here? So it worked out for him. He was in the Super Bowl this year, and Brady wasn't. Although he wasn't great in that game. Did you watch that game, the Super Bowl?
I did. It was
good.
You know, it was good. It was an entertaining game. I thought they were going to pull it out, but the Chiefs were just too much. Couldn't slow them down enough.
Yeah, it was a good game. Well, we're with Rob Clark, the Managing Director of Retail Operations for Dunn Tire, as we broadcast, as we have been for a few weeks officially, from the Dunn Tire studios here at Entercom. And it's okay that you brought up WEEI because they're in our family, so that was a good move. we're happy to have you do that. It's been a pleasure getting to know you today, and you did great. I mean, you could easily fit in here if you wanted.
Well, I spend an awful lot of time in my car over my career listening to sports radio and arguing with people that aren't next to me. So this has been a good experience to actually have somebody talk to about it.
Yeah, I mean, things are a little bit, usually in life, right? Things are a little bit safer or nicer when we're here, right? If I'm talking and you're driving, you might be, you might really want to say something else. I don't know. But that's okay. As long as you're listening, we're happy about it. Thanks for everything, Rob. Again, it's been great to know you today, and I appreciate you sitting with me here.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Mike.
All right. Rob Clark, Dunn Tire from the Dunn Tire Studios. thanks to him. Come back, get into the Astros a little bit, more on the Patriots. I'll be all over the place today. Bulldog is not here, so for Joe and I, we're like, I don't know, little kids where mom and dad are going out or something, and like, okay, we could do some fantasy talk. So we'll do some fantasy talk today, too. And as I mentioned also already, Steve Palazzolo, Evan Abrams coming on as well. Zach Bogosian waived by the Sabres. We'll get to that as well very soon. Mike Shope here. This is WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries, so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
That is the owner of the Astros, Jim Crane, yesterday at a news conference. If you've paid any attention to the scandal involving the Astros in baseball, then you're probably already aware of that quote, and perhaps also how he just completely did a 180 on it like a minute later. Our opinion is it did not impact the game. And then later on, shortly thereafter, he said that it did, because somebody in the media said, do you really mean that? But I made this point yesterday with Bulldog that there might be, I don't know, like, they didn't sound too well organized or well thought out. So I don't want to give him too much credit at that press conference, which is overall kind of a disaster. But there might be a legal reason why he would say did not impact the game, because they're being sued. And if the owner goes to a press conference and says that we did it, we impacted the game, we would have, anything like this, we would have lost, but we cheated and so we won. Of course he wasn't going to talk like that. He had, though, they're being sued. Like, I don't think he wants to admit to the whole thing. So they're in like an impossible position, though. I was listening to Ben Lindbergh, baseball writer and author. He's been on the show a few times. He's with The Ringer now. And his podcast, Effectively Wild, with Sam Miller from ESPN, has long been a favorite of mine. I was listening to them on the Astros, and Ben Lindbergh was saying how the timing of things that have happened here have set this Astros story up to just be perpetually updated and in the news. Like, if it's during the season, if it's during last season that the same Astros scandal breaks, then maybe it doesn't quite have the staying power of this. But you've had, this story has been simmering over the winter. And now, as everybody comes back to work, everybody's being asked about it. And some of the responses about the Astros are incredible. And they leave no doubt that other teams, players on other teams, are furious. And so that really makes this, maybe, arguably, something in sports we've never seen before. Like, the Patriots have had all these allegations, some of which were proven, and there's always been like this cheater persona and suspicion about the Patriots. But you really just almost never have had other teams call them out. And I have said many times in here that I need that to take the Patriots thing to take all their stuff as seriously as some people want me to. Like, if you're the Bills, if you're Sean McDermott, and you know that the Patriots got an unfair advantage over you, are you really just not going to say anything? And I think there is an argument that some people wouldn't, because they really, more than it is, I know how this sounds, but more than it is that they want to win is that they want to stay in the league. Like, they want to almost, like, somehow get some kind of respect from Belichick that they would be surrendering if they called him out like that. So I don't know. Like, there could be different and personal and complicated reasons why teams would choose, or people in the sport would choose, not to do that. But they really just all did. Who did you hear on other teams blast the Patriots for anything? For Spygate, for the deflated balls, for this last round at the Bengals game where they were videotaping something for a documentary, allegedly. Like, who did that? The Colts were mad when the Colts lost to them. The Colts got blown out. Like, they obviously were talking. They were vocal. And it's happened. Eric Mangini, right? Like, there have been times. But really, just it's been faint. And are you paying attention to the other players in baseball when they're asked about the Astros this week as they report to spring training? Aroldis Chapman about Altuve and the Astros, Yankee reliever. Altuve hit the home run off Chapman where he's coming home from third base, and it might look like, if you read his lips, like, don't tear my jersey off. I've got a piece on. There's that with Altuve. Steven Strasburg today, I read. Strasburg was the World Series MVP this year with the Nationals. That World Series was 7 games, the road team, kind of ironically with this story, you know, being about how the Astros got this unfair advantage at home. Every game was won by the road team in that World Series, actually. But Strasburg said something like, when I grow old, I don't have anything to apologize for with my World Series. That's not a quote, but it's words to that effect. Like, we won it honestly. And if other baseball teams and players had something to hide, they would so not talk like that. If they were doing it too, you would not talk like that. Then you're a buffoon. And somebody would know it. Everybody's changing teams all the time. That was part of the Astros problem. And somebody would know it. And if anybody on the Nationals, for example, or the Yankees went all high and mighty about how wrong the Astros were, then somebody on the Astros who are backed into a corner is going to say the same thing. Like, hey, it wasn't just us. But isn't it interesting that you are not hearing that? How about Cody Bellinger today? I heard this at 1 o'clock right before I left for work and just could not believe it. And, you know, maybe if you don't really pay the closest attention or whatever, like you're a casual fan, you're not going to notice just how severe this is. A lot of you will. If you listen to sports sound bites like we do every day, the vast majority are just meaningless and empty platitudes. Everybody's great. Everybody works hard. Everybody's awesome. They're really almost never critical, like directly critical. Listen to Bellinger, the Dodgers star. Now, the Dodgers lost the World Series to Houston in 17 when this was all said to be happening. They also did lose that World Series in L.A., you know. But still, and he's one of the best players in the game. So here's Cody Bellinger on the Astros.
Thought the apologies were whatever. Thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. I know personally I lost respect for those guys. I would say everyone in the show, in the big leagues, lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off. But two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like that makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense to me. Because I know me. Gary Sanchez said yesterday, you can rip my shirt off, my pants off. I sent my team the World Series off for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. You can do, you know, I'm going crazy.
Right? I mean, Bellinger just is not holding back. And he says everybody in the game has lost respect for them. He's talking about a conversation he had with Gary Sanchez, who's on the Yankees. Like, this is what you're talking about, or you've been talking about for the last month or more, if you're on another team, especially one of these teams that lost to them. And you know what else? And Trevor Bauer, who never holds back in his comments. He's now with the Reds, pitcher, did the same thing. They're blasting the commissioner. And that is not something you get all the time from sports, is it? Like, the players blasting the commissioner. Unless it's maybe for, like, labor negotiations or something. Like, when you're in a work stoppage, you will hear that. But this is for his role in this scandal. And this goes back to listening to Ben Lindbergh about it. And I missed a little bit of this part of this story as it developed. But you had, I was here for the day when the baseball punishment was announced. And they suspended Jeff Luhnow for a year, the GM, and they suspended A.J. Hinch for a year, the manager, and they were both later fired, maybe the same day, by the Astros. Then there was, I think, a Wall Street Journal report by a guy named Diamond, no pun intended, that, like, just took the thing further, that there were emails that have been leaked. And basically you have that baseball knew more than what was in that report. You had the A's manager, because they're all being asked about it. The A's are in the same division as the Astros. The A's manager, Melvin, is asked about, well, why didn't you complain? He's like, we did. We had been complaining. They didn't do anything about it. So now you have this added, I don't mean like right now, but within this story, you have this added element that that Major League Baseball knew more about the Astros than they said they did. And so why is that? You know, the number one thing, I think, I mean, this is a little cynical, but the number one thing sports wants, I mean, the number one objective is not to root out any and all cheating. I mean, you think about like Bud Selig in the baseball years, in his years with steroids and everything, they were about money. They would cover it up and try to let the water flow under the bridge to make money. And so this all happens, and you wonder if baseball had known for a long time that it was actually happening and done nothing about it, because it would have been bad for business. So it's really, really wild that stars in the sport are taking these kind of shots at that team. And, you know, it's not undeserved. It's just incredible to hear it, to hear Bellinger, to hear Chapman, to hear Strasburg, to hear Melvin, to hear all these guys. Like, they are representing, and I don't know, I mean, that they would do this says something to me. They are representing that they weren't doing it, that they weren't doing anything like it. Banging those garbage cans, wearing some kind of piece allegedly under the jersey, like Bellinger is talking about with Altuve. Crazy. Here's one more thing, Joe. The over-under on Houston this year is 96 wins. What are we actually going to see other teams do about them? Like, are there going to be brawls? How bad will it get? How long will this last? Is this something where guys like Bellinger, although he doesn't sound like it, are going to get their shot in and then go back to work? Today, actually, while you have Bellinger for the Dodgers just blasting them, the manager of the Dodgers said, I just really want to focus on our team and look ahead. Like, I'm not here for this anymore. And there'll be plenty of that in baseball. So you wonder how much of that anger will carry over into the season and what it would look like. And what will it look like when Altuve's up against Chapman or anybody? What will it look like when Alex Bregman's up? What will it sound like? Baseball fans are very serious about their rules and about their ethics, I think, generally. Like, baseball fans take that stuff seriously. They're outraged. What's it actually going to look like in Houston, at Houston games, Houston road games? I mean, it's wild.
They should get booed. If I were a baseball fan and I'm looking at, like, what games I want to go to, maybe if I had a season ticket group and I was trying to pick games I'd want to go to.
Number one.
I want to go to the Astros game.
Yeah.
Especially, like, if I'm a Dodgers fan, Like, I'm hot about this right now. Like, I'm probably, if I found out today that somehow the Carolina Hurricanes cheated in 2006, I want to go to war. I'm ready. I'll pick it. Where do you want me? Like, I'll hold a sign. I don't care where I got to go. if that's Dodgers fans right now, that's anybody that got beat by the Astros, like, that's how I'm feeling, and I definitely want to be at those games. And I probably want my team doing like that. Like, yeah, Chapman, throw it at Altuve. Like, something. Like, I'm going to want that, I think, if I'm one of those fans.
I'm also very curious to see what Altuve and Bregman, to name those two guys, are actually capable of doing on the field this year. Like, these are both, they're two of the game's biggest stars. That's another thing that was brought up on this Effectively Wild, is like Sam Miller said, well, what if this were the Blue Jays? And we found out that they had a thing where they were banging on garbage cans and they won 82 games. Like, you know, okay. It would just go into the pile of scandals. With corked bats and PEDs and I don't know what else. Like the guy, Joe Niekro with the emery board in his pocket and Vaseline, you know, like it would just go on the list. But it's that team that won a World Series that year. They beat Boston and then the Yankees and then the Dodgers to do it. That's a few fans. Those are teams that have a few fans. Like, Yankee fans are hot. Like, you know Yankee fans, or you are one. And I think if you're a Yankee fan, like, Bellinger is empowering. Bellinger's on your side. I mean, all those guys, stars on other teams, are identifying themselves as one way or another. Like, being in the, they want to be in the right. They want to be, they want, that's the Patriots' point. They want you to know that it wasn't them too. Steroids, I mean, I'm old enough. Steroids was one of these other things where guys were being asked to talk about it. It was a bombshell. And a lot of guys just begged off. Like, they just, I don't know, like, they must have known people who were using that hadn't been mentioned, or they themselves were using, and it was, like, out of control. And it was not like this. I don't know of anything like this, where you have one team so in the crosshairs and so much of the rest of the sport being willing to talk about it and blast them. It's really like it's just, it's unfiltered, right? Unfiltered. For player interviews to not sound the way they always sound, I am here for it. And I'm not, you know, a defender of the Astros or anything like that. It's not a comfortable story or anything. As a sports fan, you'd rather it didn't happen, but I love the reaction to it, and I am just, like, just here for all of that, and hearing guys talk about each other like that in sports, which is kind of what you want, and maybe a little bit like it was in the beginning. It just sort of, it's that kind of reminder of how competitive it's supposed to be that just seemed to gradually dissipate as players in all sports started to get so rich. It just felt less and less, you know, in hockey it might be brawls, or it might be like really, you have the Oilers and the Flames this year, Tkachuk and Cassian, and it's like, wow, you're telling me there are two guys on supposed rival teams that are not friendly? That's unbelievable. I mean, isn't that supposed to be everybody? Isn't that supposed to be sports? Like, this is serious. This is for a lot of money. This is for a ring. This is for the cup. Of course it should be like that, but it never sounds like it. And so you'll wonder, what an interesting year we've got coming up. And I wonder for how much longer. I mean, baseball did a bad job with this report, obviously, because more stuff is coming out. And if you investigated this so thoroughly and you wanted to root it out, how did you not say more? The Astros still employ people who've been named in this scandal, like their scouting director and hitting coach, like people who were named as behind it, they still work there. So you're the Astros, you're this guy who owns the team, and like, yeah, well, we're not going to tolerate that anymore. Well, what are they doing working there? I don't know. I love the story. 4 o'clock, Steve Palazzolo, then Evan Abrams next hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
They cheated. They've cheated the game. They've cheated us as players. It's that they can't
take responsibility for their actions and try to make things better. Instead, they're just sweeping things under the rug and, you know, just doing their own thing. And to me, that just doesn't sit right.
Sean Manaea of the A's. What the best you're getting from Astros players is, Gurriel said this, Jake Marisnyk, who might now be on the Mets, Keuchel was like this, somebody else on the team yesterday was like this, maybe Marwin Gonzalez with Minnesota now. It's my fault, too. Like, I could have done something more. Justin Verlander was talking like this. Like, that's the best you're getting. What did these guys think would happen? That's really what blows my mind about it, is did they really think when guys change teams or lose to them that it would just not, wow, like what did they think would happen? So just been talking about the Astros here for a while. Change it up. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, coming on at 4. We'll talk NFL draft, free agency. The one day I missed this week, Bulldog and Sal had some fun with quarterback possibilities around the league that might come up. It's kind of funny, in a sense that it's been the other way for so many years here, not in a row, but there's really none of that to talk about here. Like, we're not in the game, even for a backup, as far as I know. Maybe there'll be something small that happens. That's the most I really would expect from the Bills. We'll see. And we'll talk some NFL draft, too. Steve was also a pitcher at the AAA level for the Giants. Last time he was on, when I was here at least, we talked about that a little bit. So I might ask him about the Astros, too. Then Evan Abrams from the Action Network, he'll be on at 4:30. Daytona, baseball futures. Joe's betting some XFL.
Yep. Well, maybe. Probably.
Hoping to.
Yeah, I'm gonna be making a Vegas Golden Knights bet. So I think I might get in on the XFL. You never know.
Futures?
Gotta like something. I want futures, but I'm not seeing futures being readily available.
I still don't know who's good.
I think Seattle's not good, but only because the only game I watched in full, they got beat pretty good, and I think they had the lowest over-under that Vegas had.
For wins?
Yeah.
All right.
They were at like 3.5. There's 10 games. I think the next lowest is maybe like 5.5. So just with that and watching the one game, I think I'm making a judgment that they won't be the... And they have the one quarterback that I've never heard of. You know, like Landry Jones, like I haven't watched a lot of Landry Jones, but I've heard of Landry Jones. I've heard of even P.J. Walker, like somehow. I've heard
Phillip
of Carl
Walker,
Jones.
Right.
Yeah. But their guy, never heard of him at all. Had to look him up. He went to Princeton or something.
Matt McGloin
is in the league, and he played really well in their first game.
I don't know which team that is, though.
I think it's L.A.
I have Jordan Tamu in the Superflex.
Maybe that's how I've heard of Jordan. Maybe I wouldn't have heard of Jordan Tamu if you didn't draft him in the
I drafted him.
The XFL fantasy draft.
I'm in a 4-team XFL league. Got my lineups in.
Can't have much more than 4, again, because it's limited.
Well, Superflex is, I think my friend is this way. He had more to do with how the league was structured than I did. It's kind of like how I want to start any new league. I want to be Superflex. And I don't know if that could be said that it was a problem in this draft because you only have 8 XFL teams. So you don't have to start 2 quarterbacks, but if everybody did, that would be all the starters. And they would have to be evenly distributed, which, you know, I don't even know if they are. But, yeah, it's XFL. It's something to do. I haven't really gotten that into it yet. Like, my fantasy time in the mornings right now is mostly baseball. Baseball trades coming up, a little bit of football, a little bit of dynasty football, but it's mostly baseball for me.
I do have, I'm going to be more into it this year probably just because I did bet on the Mets.
You have a futures bet on the Mets.
Over 84.5 wins.
I like it. Pecota likes that.
Everyone I've talked to or mentioned it to likes it, although I feel like 80% of those people are Mets fans, so I don't know how much I'm able to take from that.
No, I would not take much because Mets fans can tend to be negative.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. So maybe then it really is a good bet like it.
I think Pecota put the Mets in first place over Atlanta, over Washington, and then Atlanta. Philly was down, and then Miami. I think that was the order from Pecota. So maybe 88 was the number, but still. I think there's also maybe like a knee-jerk reaction to bet against the Mets because they get laughed at. So I like this bet. That's only those are my only reasons, though.
Good reasons I had. I knew, like, two players. Syndergaard and DeGrom, and that's all I could tell you. That's it. I knew who their manager was. I don't know who it is now.
Right. Rojas. Robinson Cano. The Mets have a lot of interesting names right now. Jeff McNeil is pretty good. Cespedes, I think, may still be there. I don't even know. Cano is old like that, but he was on the team. Wilson Ramos is kind of cool. Pete Alonso. Got to know that one. 52 homers, I think. Home run derby winner.
I do know that one. Yeah.
Pete Alonso. Maybe Porcello is there. Maybe Michael Wacha. Just looking at them today, so I'm guessing a little bit. Shouldn't do that. Steve Palazzolo, former pitcher. Pro Football Focus. After sports, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.